This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Okay, if you're confused, you are not the only one. Israel is likely confused too. Trump talking about bombing Israel's nuke facilities extensively, by the way. Many times, it's just one of those.
I would much prefer a strong, verified deal where we actually blow them up, but blow them up or just denuke them.
Is it the U.S. position that Iran can have an enrichment program as long as it doesn't reach a weapons?
We haven't made that decision yet. We will, but we haven't made that decision yet.
Okay. Iran is the fifth largest producer of natural gas in the world, okay? They can keep the lights on just fine without nuclear facilities. They should not have them, period. So Netanyahu, clearly head of Israel, Lee, clearly been listening to Trump talking about, like, you know, we're going to need a solution for these nuke facilities. They just can't have them. And so Netanyahu, you know, wouldn't be blamed for being mistaken to think, well, you know what? Let us take them out. We'll take them out. I mean, nobody is more justified in taking out the nuclear facilities. I mean, dear Lord, Israel's been attacked by Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, every single Iranian proxy there is.
And Iran, too, has actually fired it in the past here.
Right, all using, of course, money the Democrats have provided them with, which is the big danger with Iran. And a problem Trump faces, he could cut the best deal ever with Iran. Democrats come in office, it's not going to matter. Don't forget, Iran marches in the street with Democrats. They fund Democrat, literally pro-Hamas violent marches together as they march. They are tied at the hip. It doesn't matter what Trump does with Iran. So Netanyahu apparently tells Trump, hey, you know, offers or suggest or whatever, I wasn't on the phone call, to blow up the Iranian nuclear facilities. Not to hit civilians, not to, you know, hit cities, nothing like that. Just go ahead and get rid of these nuclear facilities. And Iran, Trump shocked everyone yesterday, Lee, with this.
Back at Iran, did you warn Prime Minister Netanyahu against taking some sort of actions that could disrupt the talks there in a phone call last week?
Well, I'd like to be honest. Yes, I did. Next question, please.
Mr. President, just a matter of sanctions.
I did, yeah.
If Senate Republicans want to push...
It's not a warning. I said I don't think it's appropriate.
What exactly did you tell him?
I just said I don't think it's appropriate. We're having very good discussions with him, and I said I don't think it's appropriate right now. Because if we can settle it with a very strong document, very strong, with inspections and no trust. I don't trust anybody. So no trust. I want it very strong where we can go in with inspectors, we can take whatever we want, we can blow up whatever we want, but nobody getting killed. We can blow up a lab, but nobody's going to be in the lab as opposed to everybody being in the lab and blowing it up, right? Two ways of doing it. I told him this would be inappropriate to do right now because we're very close to a solution. Now, that could change at any moment, could change with a phone call. But right now, I think they want to make a deal, and if we can make a deal, save a lot of lives.
Huh? Which is probably what Netanyahu said. Look, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, Lee, and you know, maybe I'm a minority now, but why stop Israel from taking out Iran's nuke facilities? I don't know. Look, the Iranian military years ago, somebody inside there, and God bless them, because there's a lot of good people in Iran. I think, Lee, Iran would be a democracy we can very much deal with without the Ayatollahs. In fact, I pulled a poll 2 weeks ago from 2024. 80% of Iranians do not want to live under mullahs, including those who call themselves Islamic hardliners. They don't want religion involved in the government. They are slaves like in China. They are victims. They are only in servitude only under the control of the Ayatollahs because the Democrats have propped the Ayatollahs up for years. Well, Trump had them on the brink last time.
The government there is under some pressure right now because there is for a week now, there's been a trucker strike in Iran, which is crippling their already crippled economy. And the point I heard made on one of the podcasts I was listening to said, these truckers are not political. This is not, you know, a political group that is involved in this strike. This is, you know, your everyday Iranian worker. And this is some severe pressure on the Ayatollahs and the regime there. So there's some internal things going on in Iran, as well as what's going on between Israel, the U.S., and the Iranian negotiators.
And we saw this last time. They were in the streets because they were hungry. They did not have enough food. Trump had them on their knees. And I've said for a long time, the Ayatollahs would be done if Biden hadn't won and propped them up and immediately gotten them tens of billions of dollars, lifted the sanctions for no reason, didn't care how many of us they killed, never, you know, put the sanctions back on. So I just say, look, we know somebody, God bless them, inside the Iranian military a few years back leaked their plans to detonate a nuke over the U.S. so as to destabilize some of our grid. We'll find out when it goes off, I guess. We've got two assassins sent by Iran to kill Trump in just the last 4 years and the people around him sitting in prison, federal prison. Don't send me a text saying, oh, those aren't really Iranian. Those are deep state. No, the Ayatollah himself personally on his X account promised to kill Trump, put a fatwa on him and everyone around him, then sent the assassins. So I don't even want to hear it. I don't think the Ayatollah's Twitter account's fake. I can't go down that conspiracy hole with you and Tucker Carlson, who's lost his mind or is getting paid by Qatar, whichever it is. But there seems to be some movement of, oh, we don't want war with Iran. Well, you know what? We're not going to have war with Iran. They don't have nukes. Not our problem. Let Israel take care of it. They have every right to do it. They are completely justified.
Yeah.
They were attacked brutally from literally all angles by all of the Iranian proxies. And Lee, this is what I don't get. And look, I know Trump knows things I don't, right? So I want to give him some wiggle room. But they'll never honor a deal with the guy they have vowed to kill.
No. Well, he's right about one thing. He doesn't trust anybody. And he's absolutely right about that. You should not trust the Iranians. You shouldn't trust the North Koreans, the Russians, the Chinese.
Or the Democrats, because they are going to let them wiggle right out of this deal.
Or Republican leadership.
Yeah, them too. Them too. Although I think they would, I think even GOP leadership would hold Iran accountable. I think they would.
Oh, yeah. Particularly if Trump were to be pushing that. They know that in order for their constituents to continue to back them, they'd have to.
So if Democrats win back power, they'll let Iran do what it wants. They'll fund Iran. They'll put the whole world in danger. You do not want a nuclear armed Iran with Democrats in power, because the next generation of proxies is going to have all kinds of nuclear stuff, from suitcases to nukes. It's too damn dangerous. And I don't know why you tell the kids, just let Israel take care of it. We don't need to be doing it for them. They can go do it. There's lots of safe ways they could do it too. You could even give them warnings. We don't want to necessarily hurt or kill civilians. It's not their fault that their leadership's insane. It's in part Jimmy Carter's, but anyway, and then Obama's for propping them up the way that he did. Democrats have gotten in between those poor people in the streets and the Ayatollahs, have protected the Ayatollahs for years. And it's got to stop. It's got to end.
There have been discussions going on between U.S. and Iranian officials directly over the whole thing. And the fact that they're still talking at this point, and both sides admit, have you got a deal? No. Does it look like there's going to be a deal at this point? Not right now. But most of the intelligence that I'm hearing about this is that they're still continuing to talk. So that seems to be why Trump feels like now's not the time. But once again, I would never trust the Iranian Ayatollahs, period, end of story. I don't care what they sign.
And they have a very long history. They will talk your head off.
Oh, yeah.
They will talk to you for years.
Of course.
And they have
time is
no
on their side.
Intention whatsoever of honoring anything.
Just like Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping. Time is on their side.
They'll just talk and talk and talk and talk. And then the whole time, when the talking stops is when the inspectors show up and they block them or they don't let them in or they take them to a different site or they don't let them see the whole site. And then we play games and games and games and games. And unfortunately, what the Iranians know, and this is what really hobbles us, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, they know the Democrats, I would go so far as to say the Democrat Party is an ally of theirs. I think they are actually at this point literally allies. And so they know Democrats can let them get away with whatever. In fact, you know what I think is happening? This is the kind of stuff I wish Kash Patel was into. You know, I keep playing that audio from Biden spokesperson John Kirby where he admits openly that Iran is funding these Democrat street protests. I think the money that Joe Biden unleashed and sent to Iran, tens of billions of dollars that was frozen, I think Democrat Party got a cut of it. And I think that Iran funneled it back in. And he admits it, so it's not disputable. You can't have Democrats in power in Iran with nukes. You can't have that. That is a world-ending, civilization-ending proposition. Texter writes, World War III will start. No, I'm not talking about bombing Iran or bombing Iran. I'm talking about taking tactically and specifically taking out those nuclear sites. That's it. Well, narrow threat.
The intelligence I'm aware of is that we're the only country that's got the bunker busters that could do it.
They could do it.
And the Israelis could get in there. They have the jets. They have the ability to go in there. And as you said, they're the ones that are directly threatened. It would make more sense for them to do that. But we're the ones that have the weapons that could make it happen or at least do serious damage.
Whatever the case, I hope this is just a temporary pause where Trump wants to be able to say, hey, we exhausted all options before I green flagged it. We can't have another Democrat administration with Iran, you know, on the verge of having nukes or having nukes. It's just not going to work. Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Folks, this number just punches me in the gut. And this is why I'm so passionate about what the GOP is doing to us right now, because I see it every day in my own home. My husband is a mortgage broker. And because most Americans are locked into low interest rate mortgages, they know the mortgage rate's higher. So they're not trying to buy a home. They haven't seen the decimation of the American housing market and ultimately the American dream of owning a home by both the Republicans and Democrats in Congress, like I have. In 2020, before COVID, the average age, average age of a home buyer, 37. In 1981, it was 31. Buying a home meant you were middle class. And being middle class was pretty common in America until the Republican Congress, and before that, the Democrat Congress, spent the American dream. They spent it. They stole it. They spent it. They printed it. If it had been a tax increase taking massive shares of your income or, well, 20, 30, 40%. People would have been rioting, pitchforks, tar in the streets. But by quietly printing it, they were able to steal it like a thief in the night. And you can see it in this. Do you know what the median age of all homebuyers right now is? 56. It was 31 in 1981. As recently as 2023, it was 49. It was 37 before COVID. And I see this around my house all the time. I'm driving now with my 15-year-old who has a learner's permit, and there's a lot of developments that were started either before COVID, they got delayed, or they were starting during COVID. And they were started as, and I don't know if you've seen this around town, they were started as, you know, home buying opportunities, and they had to flip them to rental neighborhoods because that's how we're going to live now because Congress stole the American dream. And they're stealing it some more right now. Was it going to be 66 by the time this Republican Congress is done? Is that what it's going to be? If I sound bitter, I am. I'm mad. I'm angry because I've heard too many of those phone calls. And it always goes like this. People go and get an agent. They know what they can afford in terms of the actual price of the house. and they'll go find a house. They're very excited. And they want to get their loan now. My husband's very good rates. And they'll call up. And you can hear them deflate on the phone. I don't listen to the phone conversation. I just, you know how you can kind of hear it secondhand. It always goes the same way. What? No, I can't afford that. When they realize the price of a mortgage has doubled, it's sitting at 7% right now. And Republicans are going to ensure it stays that way. My kids will never own a home at 22 like I did. I bought my first house when I was 22. I flipped it. Owned rental property after that. Inconceivable. Can't be done. Republicans stole it and Democrats before them. That's when these people say, you're a rhino, shut up. Let us spend your children's money. That's what they mean. Don't talk about the theft of the American dream. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about us crushing it under our heel and grinding it in good. Don't talk about the most unbelievable conversation ever. Because I've been listening to my husband do this for on and off for 20 years as a mortgage broker. Same conversation every time. They come to a sick realization. I couldn't buy my home that I live in. I couldn't afford it. Yeah, now you're getting it. Now you're getting what they stole. And yeah, they stole it. That's what printing does. And I get angrier and angrier and angrier. And I know what this looks like. Looks like Europe. My first job, first real adult job, I got from a temp employment agency. It's a great place to go if you can't find a job. They sent me to a construction company and I worked as a secretary in the trailer managing the crews. So I started really paying attention. I mean, everywhere I would go, I would start to notice things like grading and construction equipment and what kind it was. And I could tell what work they were doing by what the equipment was. I just got to know it like you do when you work somewhere. Well, my cousins and I went on a really cool long road trip through Europe. This was back in the day. I mean, this is back, you know, when I was in my early 20s. And I started noticing, I was like, I haven't seen a single piece of grading equipment in two countries. There's just nothing to do. They're not building anything. They're not grading. There's no construction offices. There's no construction trailer. There's no equipment. They're not building everything, anything at all. Yeah, because their society was decaying. So we stayed with members, you know, kind of distant members of my family as much as we could to save money. And we stayed, you know, at other places as well. Just one of the members of our family, they were in their late 30s. They had kids, had a house. It was what we would consider run down and decrepit. They were incredibly proud of it because they owned it. And how did they own it? They could have never bought it. They told us that. No, they inherited it. It still had the 1980s wallpaper in it. They couldn't afford to upgrade it. That's the future. That's what Republicans are doing. You want your kid to have a house? Good, leave it to them. It's the only way they're gonna. The only people right now who can afford homes are those who were fortunate enough to have had a home before COVID. And I'm gonna bottom line it for you. Before Trump and the Democrat Congress got drunk and spent us into oblivion, and then Joe Biden said, hey, I will loot the Treasury, turn America into a kleptocracy, pay off all my friends. The only people who can afford homes will be those with the mansions around D.C., rich men north of Richmond. Boy, in that trail. So I see this all the time. I have rage over it. It doesn't mean I'm criticizing Trump. It means I'm laying it out for you like it is. You want a good perspective on how much they've stolen? You go buy a house. Go see if you can. Just call. For kicks, go find out what a mortgage would cost in your current house. Again, the only people who can afford homes are those who own them before because they have equity. That's it. Otherwise, give it up. Yeah, forget it. Good luck. Start a home. Go see what that costs. And they want to do it again. And they want you to shut up. And I will not shut up. I will not shut up. You are stealing my children's future. It's not cool. It's not right. It's not hip. It's not neat. And I am sorry, but a $9 billion rescission, $9.4 billion rescission bill, I'm glad Trump's doing it. Don't get me wrong. Not enough. It's not enough. It's not even close to enough. And this is why Elon Musk has very, in a very classy and very polite way, thrown his hands in the air and walked away. Here's Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, look, I think the DOGE cuts need to be made. But as you pointed out, Laura, that's $9 billion against the backdrop of a $36 trillion national debt on track to become $60 trillion in 10 years with a $2 trillion deficit each year. It's like picking a barnacle off the back of a whale. We got to deal with the actual issue at some point. We're going to have the courage to take on independence from the federal entitlement state.
Yep.
That's what we actually need to be talking about. And I personally believe that everything else, ends up being a distraction from the real topic of dealing with this national debt issue. Ask the question of how we're going to...
But
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But there's good news. This got buried today. A huge and at the same time bizarre victory that shows you where we are as a country. This is so absurd. A judge just ruled to allow Doge, which is still operating even without Elon Musk, they're still going, to access sensitive U.S. Treasury Department payment systems controlling trillions of dollars in federal payments. Folks, it is ridiculous this was even a question. So listen to what the Democrats did here, not the Republicans. This is very telling as to who stole this. I'm sorry, did I say steal this money? You've got Doge, every one of whom is a federal employee who answers to Trump. Basically, think of them as a specialized engineering team, right? Like if you have tech guys who work for your business and help you when the computer goes down, like the help desk, that's who they are. Democrats say you're not allowed to have Doge. Why? Because they're good at what they do and they can find the fraud. That's why. Do you realize that Democrats all this time were in court still blocking Doge from accessing the full Treasury payment system? Until yesterday when we won. What are we going to find? What are we going to find? Now, think about the outrageousness of this, okay? Not only do the Doge engineers work for Donald Trump, federal employees can't say, oh, well, they shouldn't have access. Yes, they should. They are federal employees, just like every other federal employee. Not only that, Scott Bessent, you know, the Treasury Secretary, who's responsible, you know, responsibility it is, all these payments, he ordered them in. They work for him, too. The position of the Democrats in court was essentially, it's what it boils down to, they put it in legalese, we don't like Scott Bessent. We don't want you to know what we've been doing. So Scott Bessent does not get to access the payments he is in charge of. Let that sink in for a moment. Well, the absolute abject stupidity ended yesterday and they lost. We won. Doge gets full access. Including to the, what CBS calls sensitive Treasury payments part of the system. And you know what we're going to find? We just won a critical battle in the Democrats' war to stop the American taxpayers from being robbed blind and finding out how blind they've been robbed. And again, standing in the way of finding that out, Democrat judges. You tell me why. It's not Republicans suing to stop this stuff, which is what it means is they're not stealing. And that is what Doge founding member Antonio Garcia, who is a very successful multimillionaire CEO in his own right, who's put his whole life on hold to fix this. That is what he means when he says America was turning into a kleptocracy. Let me differentiate this for you. Okay, a kleptocracy is where a political class becomes essentially dictator-like and uses the power of the government to steal their constituents blind. That is totally different from your garden variety corruption, okay, where, you know, hey, I make sure my friends get the contracts. That's not that. That's not a kleptocracy. That goes on in all countries, always will. It's just human spirit. No, a kleptocracy is different. A kleptocracy is organized theft.
Sort of extraordinary what's happening. Elon said this publicly, right? Fraud, waste, and abuse. He thinks kind of 10% of the budget is probably fraud. I think it might be low, actually. So you're talking about $650 billion, a trillion in waste. I think that's probably about right. But what's really serious about it, Jason, for me, and what scared me when this started, I thought we had a democracy that had turned into a bureaucracy. What I'm afraid of now is we have a bureaucracy that is about to turn into a kleptocracy. I mean, a Latin American style kleptocracy. Okay, yeah. The stuff you're talking about, that is pure fraud. And we're making some jokes out of it, the DIA musical. But if you go into the data that's coming out of USAID, what you find is there's a lot of political contributions going on there. I mean, that is pure corruption. That's like a Latin American style autocracy. And we cannot let it go there. I think this happened just in the nick of time. 80 plus people there, all patriots, gone full time to make this happen. So I'm just so grateful. It's sort of extraordinary what's happening.
Yeah, we had one of those Doge members left Harvard to do this. God bless him. Now, let's take a little peek. Remember the hint at how large the theft from the American people might be. Remember the last segment, if you were listening to it. They stole the American dream. Literally, people cannot buy homes anymore because Congress stole the American dream with the printing press to pay what? They don't even know. I mean, what did this week start with? Mike Johnson, our useless speaker. Ha, we found 1.4 million illegal immigrants illegally taking Medicaid payments. Well, Mike, you paid them for 2 years, honey. Where you been? What are you doing? Nobody ever asks. Things I'd ask people. Anyway, just a hint. This is good news. I'm going to stay on the good news. This is just a hint from Scott Bessent under oath in a committee hearing a few weeks ago of how big the fraud might be.
What I can say at Treasury, that of the 1.5 billion payments we send out every year, they're required to have something called a TASS, a Treasury account symbol. We discovered that more than one third of those payments did not have a TASS number. So as the Appropriations Committee, you should be shocked by that, because how can a payment be tracked back to an appropriation? Only through the TASS number. So there was no accountability. So that is why the 450 organizations that sit above Treasury, where Treasury acts as the paymaster, are unable to pass an audit.
Damn!
So we have cracked down on that. Every payment now requires a TASS number. Very simple.
And now, thanks to the ruling yesterday, they can finally access all the payments and be allowed to see them. Can you imagine that? Democrats' position. Well, only Democrats in good standing who've been bureaucrats for years can see the payments. Scott Bessent isn't allowed to. He's in charge of them. He's the Treasury Secretary. Texter writes, hey, Tara, my husband and I bought our first house when we were 24 and 25. That was in the early 1980s when interest rates were 13%. As first-time home buyers, we were able to take advantage of a state bond that gave us an 11% mortgage. 7% isn't the problem. Housing prices are. Well, it's both. The Biden inflation has surged the price. Yes, it's both. You hit the inflation, same thing. I agree. Texter rates, just buying a car will show you that as well. And folks, understand, when you say, well, you know, a long time ago, we had some high rates. It's okay. No, it was very temporary. And it was caused by the very same thing that is causing the inflation now, that 9% inflation that we got to. We were horrified by it as a nation. Ronald Reagan ran an election for it because of it, and we took care of it fast. So this idea of, no, we should get used to it. It's okay. It's okay to have high mortgage rate. It's fine. No, it's not. No, it's not okay. It's not. The only reason the interest rates are high is because they're printing. And the only reason they're printing is because they're robbing you blind. And just because one or two times before when we fixed it, it happened, doesn't make it okay going forward. Doesn't make it okay for them to steal from you. It's not. You are a victim. You are an abused victim. You need to talk like somebody who is not an abused victim. It's not okay. That's why we fired Jimmy Carter and hired Ronald Reagan to fix it. And he did it fast. And that is the problem, folks. In the 70s, we could all agree, it's got to get fixed. We can't live this way. We can't be this poor. Today, the Republicans are like, you will enjoy your poverty. And if you do not, you are a rhino. Screw you. You hate Trump. That's where we are right now. That's what scares me, is the mentality. In the 70s, we wanted out of it. Texter writes, I bought my first house when I was 28 in 2024. Folks, if you look at this chart, you can find it on my X account. I'll put the chart up. It's crazy. Even as recently as 2007, the median age for home purchasers was 38. I mean, yeah, so 2002, it's 36. I mean, this is not normal. You look at the chart, it'll blow your mind. What it means is Congress is printing and stealing the dream of owning a home from the middle class. It is slipping right out of our hands while they tell us to shut up and not talk about how much they're spending. First, they came for the Jews, and I said nothing. Trump is saying something. What do I keep telling you? The left, the violent, the angry left who sneers and mocks Jewish students. Lets people who aren't even students on campus terrorize them, then sends them emails saying, oh, don't come to campus. yeah, it might be dangerous. Maybe you should just, you know, finish your school semester somewhere safe, behind closed doors, where we don't have to see you and get violent. Oh, sorry, did we write that? Signed the administration. Trump's had it with that crap, and so have I. And you know what's coming, folks? They come for the Jews first. I'm telling you, these violent leftist thugs will come for Christians next. I mean, literally, the same violent leftist thugs. You're watching it right now in Seattle. And I talked, we have seen this before, pre-Nazi Germany, during the Weimar Republic. They had brown shirts and black shirts, communists and fascists alike. If you didn't have their permission to speak and they didn't care what you were saying, you got beaten. So did anyone listening to you. They're bringing that back. They hate Jews because they're Democrats and they hate Christians. See what happened in Seattle? We better pay attention to Seattle because we are losing these blue cities. These post-American blue territories are slipping away fast. Somehow in normal places in America, it's possible to hold a don't mess with our kids rally. It is a Christian rally. It is peaceful. They pray to God. Yes, they oppose transitioning children. They pray for God to protect America's children. They pray for God to protect America. This goes on in city after city. You have all the right you want to protest, but you cannot assault. Do you know what Antifa did? Surrounded them in a park in Seattle, assaulted them, kicking, pushing, shoving, throwing bottles, glass bottles at them, throwing balloons filled with urine. That is assault. So the people tried to leave. They wouldn't let them. God, this is right out of the Weimar Republic. We have seen this before. And then the lunatic leftist mayor blamed the Christians for the Antifa attack. You should see, if you haven't seen it, these trans rights radicals, Antifa radicals, surrounding, pushing, and shoving a mother holding a baby. Because nothing is too much for Christians. Folks, we're not going to, I've warned about that, we are not going to be able to appear in public in these blue areas. We don't push back. Well, the good news is the FBI is investigating in Seattle after the mayor blamed Christians for the violent rioters. What do Christians do? They shouldn't pray in public. The left should never have to see or hear anything they disagree with. And I'm telling you, this is what they believe, and they want to make it the norm. They should never see or hear anything they disagree with. And if they do, and you make them mad and they make you bleed, it's your fault. That is the norm they want for America. They were well on their way to having it this week. We learned with censorship, Elvis Chan and the rest. By the way, the organizers, and this is how evil this is, initially sought to hold their event at a place called Pike Place Market, but the city denied that permit, redirected the group, suggested, hey, have your prayer session at Cal Anderson Park. Well, that is smack in the middle of the most prominent gay neighborhood in town. Then Antifa attacked them saying, you're mocking gay people, you're here harassing gay people with your stupid prayers, which they called fascist family values. Then the mayor lambasted them for their, unkind prayers, unkind, whatever, oppression of the LGBT community when City Hall shoved them. They did all of this on purpose. All of this on purpose. And the mayor blamed them. In the face of it, he wrote, extreme right-wing national effort to attack our trans and LGBTQ communities. Seattle will continue to stand unwavering in our embrace of diversity, love for our neighbors, and commitment to justice and fairness. You know what's coming next? Judge is going to let him off the hook. Oh, this is going to be like pre-Russian Revolution Russia. The left uses the same playbook over and over and over. They have since the time of their hero Marx, 1848. It's when it all went sideways. Texture writes, hey, Tara, it will spill over into bloodshed. We may have passed the point of return. Oh, they ain't going to pull this crap in our areas. They're not. Not happening. But in theirs, yeah. There'll be parts of America we lose. And you know who's right about this week? If this continues, this is why Trump has to break the back of this. He's got to beat them into submission with the law, with defunding them as he's doing in California right now. You know who got this so right this week is Nancy Mace. He said the left is increasingly becoming violent, but not just becoming violent because they're angry, but recruiting violence into their ranks. That is why Trump has already taken the visas from 2,000 students at these universities. They like Hamas. Why? Because they will get violent, because they will bomb, because they will kill. They want to march in the streets with them. That's why they're merging with Iran. That's why they're merging with Hamas. That's why they let terrorists into this country knowing darn well they're terrorists. They see them as fellow travelers who are willing to do the violence they don't have the gumption for yet. Texter writes, hey, Tira, I saw the trans riots. I saw the little kids crying behind parents. Don't take kids to these gatherings. Jesus and followers had to talk encoded. And I don't, it just trails off. Okay, be sure to check out the Battleground America latest episode today. Always loads by noon. Mike Gallagher is up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.